we had this guy, you know, living right outside of LA, we get all sorts of types that come into the church. You know, this one guy that was coming for a while, he was, came out of the gangs, you know, Hispanic guy all tatted up, and really cool guy, really on fire for the Lord. But he stopped going to our church for a while. He stopped going, and I didn't really notice because, you know, you got four services and people are going in and out. You don't know who's there, who's not. And someone goes, "Hey, whatever happened to that guy?" I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while. Then we found out someone had talked to him, and he goes, "Someone talked to him, and this is what he said." He goes, "The reason why I don't go to Cornerstone anymore was," he goes, I just had, it's not really Cornerstone, it's just church in general. I had the wrong impression of what church was going to be like. He goes, "I thought that when I got baptized and joined a church," I thought it was going to be like when I got jumped into the gangs. He goes, "When I got jumped into my gang, we immediately became family. Like 24/7, these guys had my back. You know, if someone's after me, they got my back. You know, if I had any needs, when I'm sleeping on the street, guys would come and sleep on the street with me." He goes, "It was family 24/7. It wasn't like we had a meeting once a week and everyone was friendly to each other." He goes, "So I had the wrong impression of church." And I remember just hearing that statement, and that just made me so sad. It's like, oh no, you don't have the wrong impression of church. That's the way church was supposed to be. And it's just sad that the gangs are a better picture of family than the body of Jesus Christ. Because we haven't looked from Scripture first and go, man, what are the things that are most dear to the heart of God? And I've got to do those things. Even if no one else is doing it that way, let me start with Scripture. Let me start all over and go, what really matters? What does he really care about? What should it look like? I mean, isn't that the natural conclusion? Because you've got Jesus saying, man, he's telling his disciples, "I'm going to die, but don't worry, it's to your advantage. This is going to be better. Okay, just trust me. In fact, I'm dying so that I can give you this Holy Spirit." You've got to have this Holy Spirit, you know, and it's to your advantage. And you're thinking, man, are you serious? He goes, "Yes, because he's amidst you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you." And so Jesus dies, rises from the grave, comes to the disciples, and says, "Listen to me. Remember what I told you about the Holy Spirit?" Now they're going, okay, now I believe you. Okay, you just rose from the grave. When someone rises from the grave and tells you something, you listen to him. Nothing was going to stop the church. It was just like Jesus told Peter, "Look, upon this rock, I'm going to build this church. Gates of hell aren't going to stop this thing. Nothing's going to stop this thing. No one's going to stop my church." See, I would put that down and have so much trust in the Holy Spirit and go, "Wow, Holy Spirit, you're going to build your church. And I can't stop it. It's not going to be about me. It's an unstoppable force." Isn't that what you see when you read the book of Acts? Was anyone going to stop this thing? No one was going to stop this thing. It didn't matter how much persecution, how much whatever, nothing was going to stop this thing because Jesus says it was going to be built. And the problem I have with today's churches are they are so stoppable. Just take the senior pastor away. Just change service times. Just have one person that you don't like in the congregation. I'll stop going. And I'm going, I'm a part of this? Or have we created something else? My fear is that sometimes, even at these conferences and even at our gatherings, that we can sound more like the prophets of Baal than we do like Elijah. And we can spend all day jumping up and down, and maybe we don't cut ourselves, but we go, "Wow, what a great worship experience." The prophets of Baal had a great worship experience. Probably a better one than any of us have had. I mean, we've never cut ourselves in worship. Gone all day, all night, just going nuts. They had a great experience. But at the end of the day, fire didn't come down from heaven. See, isn't this all about the supernatural and about God doing things that you could never have done on your own power? And every once in a while you see it, right? Every once in a while someone gives their life to the Lord and you go, "Okay, I didn't do that. Because his life really changed. I can't even believe the commitment level, you know, that he has to Christ. I mean, he's ready to deny his father, mother, wife, kids. I mean, he loves Jesus Christ. He's ready to sell everything. He hates his life. I didn't do that. I didn't do that to him. See, because I know I can manipulate things. I know I can make things happen. I know I can get people to walk down an aisle. I got this one story that works every time. I can get them to walk an aisle and get them to pray a prayer. I can get people to cry. You get the music just right. We can manipulate things. You give me the right worship team and the right leadership team, and I can make any church grow. I can make a Mormon church grow. You just get the right people. You're going to draw people. You can create a response. But is that really what we're after? Or are we after the supernatural in those times when someone devotes their whole life to Jesus Christ? When someone goes, man, that's such a great treasure. I'll gladly sell everything I have because I want to buy that field. And they live this life where, man, they take in the word of God and they produce this fruit, this crop that's 100 times what you sowed into them. You're going, okay, I did not do that. That's what I want. I think that's what we all want. It's the Holy Spirit. It's like the wind. It just comes and he blows. And you just don't know where he comes from or where he's going. Take a few moments right now and think about the Spirit of God being inside of your body. And to believe again like you did when you were a little kid. I'm a little kid, you read about David and you really believed you could be like David. And sometimes we even feel silly preaching those sermons at church anymore because we're so grown up now. And we've lost that childlike faith. We lost the courage we once had. We start looking at human giftedness and looking at people who know more, who are better than us, and blah, blah, blah. Rather than being kids again, which God wants us to be, just as children. He's going to return any moment and go, do you still believe in me? And that's why Caleb's one of my favorite stories. Is there, I think it's Joshua 14, where he goes, I'm 85 years old now. I just saw everyone die. He goes, but I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. And I can go in and I can take these guys down. So give me that land. I believed it 45 years ago and I believe it today. And I go, wow, that's awesome. And I thought, man, I want to be an 85-year-old guy going, man, I believe like I did when I was a kid in Sunday school that I can still take down the giant. And I can still change the world. It only makes sense that if Paul was asking for boldness and Peter and John are praying prayers of boldness and they were the boldest people on earth, why is it that we're scared? Could it be that we don't gather the believers around us enough to ask for more boldness? Acts 4:29 says when they prayed that prayer of boldness, the whole place shook and they walked out and they preached with boldness. I don't believe that can happen. Let me pray for us. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit come upon us and do whatever he wants to do. That you would build your church through us. I pray for our churches that they'd be, that people would be blown away by the love that they would see when believers would gather. that we would look more like family than the gangs of LA do. You just fill us in a fresh way, Father. Help us to purify your bride. Use us to do that, to prepare for your return. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit, the Spirit of power, love, self-control. May we go out with power, love, self-control. May we be courageous.